find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Taxes and fees apply.
Overnight weather update is brought to you by Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center in Sheraton, now open. Batteries, belts, hoses, and more, give them a call 641-774-2586. Skies for your overnight are mostly clear with a low of 29, with breezy winds gusting as high as 29 miles per hour to bring it to a sunny Tuesday with a high of 60.
Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country, brought to you by People's State Bank and Albia. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, live from high atop the square in downtown Albia, Just Start Talking.
With me today for my installment of Just Start Talking, I have Richard Tharp. Richard, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Thanks, Pat.
It's good to have you here. We're going to talk a little bit about planning for funerals and things on that nature, but tell us a little bit of information about how you got into the business.
Well, it's kind of a funny story, I guess. When I was younger, you know, a lot of times people put so much on what are you going to do in life and different things, and I couldn't tell you what I was going to have for dinner that night, but we had a field trip in high school that we went to a local funeral home, and I guess they told me just enough to make me curious, and later I just went back to school, and it took me a while to get there, but I went back and eventually got to funeral service.
Interesting stuff for sure. And of course you graduated from here in Albia, and that's nice to have a local individual come back, and you have that community pride because of that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was very fortunate. I married up, Pat. My wife's prettier and smarter than me, and we were both in the class of 97, like you say, and then she went on to, went to Indian Hills, and then she went on to William Penn, and then I took a little bit of a break and worked for my brother, and then when DMAC opened a school in Ankeny, once again, I went up there and graduated and then came back and did my internship with Leroy Winfield here in town, and then we worked together for roughly about 4 years, and then one day he decided that, you know, he was going to concentrate his efforts on Knoxville, and he had asked me if Monica and I were interested in purchasing the funeral home, and we did April of 2011, and we've been here ever since.
Good deal. So there's several steps that people need to go through, but there's also some terminologies, how to get ready for a passing of an individual. There's some pre-planning, there's some pre-funding, and then there's also other options. But let's go ahead and dip our toe into the area of an unexpected death. What if nobody has any plans? What's their procedure for getting the ball rolling to take care of this?
That's a good question. Yeah, when something happens to your loved one, you know, you have to make a decision of what funeral home you're going to use. And then what they do is the hospital or hospice or so, or the care center, they would go ahead and contact the funeral home. And then day or night, rain or shine, you know, we go ahead and come down to where your loved one has passed away. We bring them back to our facility, but then we reach out to the family if they aren't at the facility or at home, and just make a time that would, you know, I know there's never a good time, but a time that works for them and our schedule to then invite them in. And then what we do is kind of just sit down and go over some biographical information. And what that would do is aid us in composing an obituary. And then also the necessary paperwork we'd have to file with the state, like filing the death certificate, notifying, and once again, Social Security. And then the information will also help us put together, like say, the obituary. And then once we do, we'll sit down and ask, you know, is there any services that your loved one wanted, you know, whether it be a traditional service with the body present, or would they opt for cremation? And then what we would do is just go over the pricing and different things, and then also talk about a day and a time to have visitation, whether they do visitation the night before or the next day. And sometimes people will say, you know, we've got people that are traveling, could we do visitation the same day and then have a service later on that, you know, that same day? So they might do visitation from 9 to 11, service at 11, you know, and then we would go on either to the cemetery or sometimes in cremation. They're not really ready to have the burial at that time, so they might take their loved one home or might have us store their loved one until later on that spring or summer until they can get back and have, you know, a cemetery service.
I was kind of shocked that there's a difference between pre-planning and pre-funding. Walk us through those two terms.
Sure. When you pre-fund, that's when you actually come in and you sit down and we go over everything prior to passing that, you know, that you would like to have. So we could talk about services, you know, and then like pick out a casket, a vault, talk about stationery. And then we go ahead and get a kind of a total or a rough idea of what it would cost. And then they go ahead and they actually put money down, where if you pre-plan, you just come in and kind of let your wishes be known without putting any money and things down. So the thing that's nice about both of them is I think it gives the individual just some relief that they're loved ones don't have to worry about either funding the service at the time or their wishes are just known of what they would like to have done.
And the cool thing about the pre-funding, you can do monthly payments. You can pay it all in one shot. Talk about that.
Yeah, so when we get to the point where they do want to put actual money down, what we do have is a state-approved pre-funded funeral contract, which we have to do for anybody that we take money in for. And then once a year, also, just so you know, once a year we have to do an annual report for the state insurance division that if any money that we have taken in or any money that we have serviced that we had somebody trust with us. So then it's an actual contract that is with the individual and the funeral home. And then if they're paying it in full, we will go ahead usually and guarantee the services. And what that would mean is that as far as the funeral services, the cost of the casket, the vault, and everything is set in stone. So therefore, when their loved one passes, we're not coming back and raising the price on them at all. And sometimes people will ask, well, how can you afford to do that? Well, we get to use the interest to offset inflation. So therefore, you know, once they have that kind of determination of a hard figure, you know, that's also, you know, where we get our figure from, I guess.
Okay. And so when we talk about that pre-planning, we can go from the very first step all the way through cremation or burial as well. The pre-planning part can be, quote unquote, set in stone, but let's do a what if. What if the surviving people say, we want to do a little bit different? That's kind of a gray area, probably.
Yeah, we've had before where somebody will come in and say that there's two or three family members, and somebody might also say this, Pat, that, well, I know mom wanted to be cremated, but the other ones say, well, we don't want cremation. We would like to have a traditional service. And that gets a little sticky. And what we have to do is we just have to work things out there as far as talking it through and then just coming to a common ground. And that might be something where you have like a traditional service with cremation to follow. So you have the body present for, I'd say, the visitation, the service, and then we have cremation that follows at the end. We've got an on-site crematory, so it's one of those things that sometimes they might say, well, let's have the body present during visitation, but then could we have the cremation take place before the actual service and then go to the cemetery following, or, you know, whatever they would like is what we try to do.
Interesting stuff. I'm talking with Richard Tharp, Tharp Funeral Home here in Albia, giving us some information about going through pre-planning, pre-funding, or an unexpected death that people have to prepare the funeral for. On your website that you have, there's several great things there. One of them talks about designing your funeral, and then, of course, the funeral service. There's several ways to go about having this. It's kind of nice to have several choices for the people as they go through it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and one of the things that people do a lot of times is they will give us a call and then just kind of set up a time that either one, they can come into the funeral home. But there's been a lot of times that we will come to them too. So we might just load up some stuff and come and talk to somebody in the comfort of their own home, because say, depending on their loved one might be in hospice or not able to be very mobile. So it helps sometimes if we come to them. One other thing I'd like to mention too, Pat, you say that there is some different things that, you know, that we might be able to help with as well. And some of it is like, you know, say your loved one was a veteran, we would help with coordinating military rights with the family. So what that would look like is, say they're in the Army, what we would do is reach out to the Army. They would send down two individuals that is on funeral detail, and they would work in conjunction with our local Legion. And so the day of, whether we did it in our parking lot or at the cemetery, they would, at the end of the service, usually, you could do it at the beginning. What they would do is we would get everybody outside and then kind of horseshoe around their loved ones, say casket or urn, and then they will do the 21-gun salute. They will play taps and then come over and unfold and refold the flag and then present it to their loved one.
I've actually seen that happen there at Tharp Funeral Home. Beth Hunter's husband passed, and that is exactly how the activity went outside with the playing of the taps and the 21-gun salute. So it's a type of deal that helps with closure from the survivors that go through that, and it's important, especially for those military families, to experience that. Talk about how you feel as well with the military folks.
My hat's off to anybody that was in the military. You know, my grandparents and my father and my uncles, everybody was in the service. And it is very powerful, especially, you know, at times we go up to the Iowa Veterans Cemetery there by Van Meter, and it's just very well manicured, and they have a beautiful facility that you come into, and they have the service there, and then they do the honor guard, has their service after the pastor or priest have went. And it's just a very powerful thing. It's very neat.
Talking with Richard Tharp, owner of Tharp Funeral Home here in Albia. Life is so full of uncertainties, but every once in a while you have lots of what ifs. And some people who do the pre-funding and pre-planning, they might have a what if. Maybe they move away to another state, or the funeral home sells, or there happens to be a death in another state. There's so many what ifs. So let's chat about those a little bit.
Yeah, and so we'll take the, if somebody had passed away in a different state first, say that you're either snowbirds or you're down seeing that your kids or somebody, for whatever reason, you're out of state, and unfortunately something happens and your loved one passes away. Typically, they go ahead and they give us a call first, and then we go ahead and we work in conjunction with the funeral home wherever the individual is on vacation or whatever is going on. Because a lot of times another funeral home will do things for another funeral home out of professional courtesy, and we can help get them back here to our state cheaper than it would be if something would just go through the funeral home where they happen to pass away.
What if the funeral home sells, or if it was hit by a tornado and damaged it beyond repair? Talk about that.
Sure. So if you go ahead and you decide to pre-fund with this, we go ahead and trust your money. And so if the funeral home, say, has a fire, or I sell the funeral home, or unfortunately I have something that happens to me and I pass away, the answer is kind of the same throughout. You know, you are the owner of the policy, but we are just listed as the beneficiary. And sometimes people will say, well, how does that work if my loved one has, you know, spent down and they are gone, they have gone to extended care or assisted living or a nursing home where they need to be on like state aid? Well, the state doesn't see, if you have put money in a pre-funded funeral contract, the state does not see that as an asset of your loved one. They see it as money that is earmarked for their final expenses. So they don't make you cash that in or do anything, but the money is only to be used for their funeral when something does happen to them. Sometimes people will come in and, you know, when they do, say that we itemize something out, you know, kind of to the nearest, and we have some guesstimation like on flowers or the luncheon and stuff, but say that we come up with a figure, you know, usually that's pretty close because, you know, we won't have a lot of extra because we've done that. But every now and again, somebody will come in and say, you know, I've got two or three siblings that would like to be here, but it doesn't work for them to do it today. And there's timelines for them to apply for, say, state aid and different things. So we'll go ahead and put their money in, like, say, a local bank or an insurance company or different things that way. And then when something does happen, if they are on state aid, we'll just say that they put a round figure of, like, say, $10,000 in this policy. And then when something does happen, it only uses up about $5,000. You know, it's one of the things that we just need to be upfront on is what happens to the rest of the money. Now, if we've guaranteed it, you know, we have taken the risk of, you know, is the interest going to keep up with inflation and different things? Technically, the funeral home could keep, you know, the remaining balance. But if it's not guaranteed, you know, say they paid over time or they haven't had anything there with us, it would be something that would go back to the state recovery program. So they wouldn't be able to get the refund of the difference of the services.
Great information for sure. I'm talking with Richard Tharp, Tharp Funeral Home here in Albia. Some people might think that it's a little weird to talk about these particular items, but just touch real quick about the embalming method, what transpires during that.
Sure. Basically, what we're doing, you know, is when your loved one passes away, you know, the natural processes start at that time. So it's one of those things that, you know, the sooner you do, say, the embalming, kind of the better off the individual are. And so the, and so is the family. You know, basically what you're doing is just a preservation. It's not a for life type deal. It's just, you know, to get through the services. And that might be, you know, we've had people before ask us, well, how long, you know, if we do have some family that's coming from out of state, how long do we have before we have to have, you know, say the funeral service or visitation? I think the longest we've waited was up till about 4 weeks or 1 month. Now, that makes me a little nervous, but, you know, the old cliche was kind of, you know, that somebody would pass away and then within 3 days, you know, you would have the visitation, you would have the service, and that is definitely fine. Now, we've had before where somebody would like to wait maybe a week now, and that is fine too. But basically what you're doing is displacing a formaldehyde water mixture where the blood is and stuff. You're just taking and going through the circulatory system and, you know, just replacing it as a preservative.
Interesting stuff. And then go ahead and chat real quick on cremation. I'm sure that dentures are taken out, jewelry's taken off, hearing aids and whatnot. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people will say they would like to have their loved one, you know, dressed, you know, when they go ahead and go into the retort. But it's a deal where, yeah, jewelry, dentures, you know, glasses, you know, stuff like that is taken off. But also, we have a form. There's two things that you need in the state of Iowa to go ahead with cremation. One is a signed medical examiner's permit. And what they do is they just make sure that nothing warrants any further investigation, you know, before the cremation takes place. And then the second one is an authorization for cremation and disposition. And basically what that is, in a nutshell, it's a legality that we're not doing something careless or reckless with your loved one. You're giving us permission. And then on that form there, there is a spot that talks about if there's any medical implants that could be potentially hazardous to the crematory or to the operator, you give us permission to remove them. Basically what they're looking for there is anything with a mercury battery. So it would be like a pacemaker, defibrillator, back stimulator. You know, we would go ahead and remove that device because, actually, not to give you too much information, with the heat, they actually explode. But once we have that, you know, the cremation process does take place. And usually it only takes about, oh, probably 24 hours to get all the paperwork in place, and then another 24 hours for the cremation to take place. So usually, like, maybe on the third day, you know, you could either pick your loved one up or we could have a service and stuff that way. It is always kind of a misconception, too. Sometimes people think that their loved one has to be embalmed before the cremation takes place, and that's not true. You know, the cremation could take place, you know, because sometimes people's wishes are not to be embalmed or anything like that. So, you know, it's just not, you don't have to do it. One other thing that people don't also sometimes realize that you could have something that is called an immediate burial. And that is if you didn't want, say, the cremation and you didn't want like a public viewing and different things, you know, you've got, I think it's 72 hours in the state here from when you pick the individual up. You go ahead and you could have like a graveside service, but it's a deal where they're not embalmed, they're put in a casket. You know, it looks just like a normal service, but it's no visitation and then basically just a graveside service.
Interesting. Just real quick on distributing those ashes, there's some misconceptions about that. Talk us through the distributing of ashes if people don't bury them in the cemetery.
Sure. First, I just want to tell you that, you know, the state of Iowa deems the final disposition of your loved one is the cremation process itself. So therefore, you know, when you see people that have taken their loved one back home or anything of that nature, or we've held on to them and because they're just not quite ready to bring them home, you know, that's not against the law or anything. And then one other thing that you see is sometimes people will say, well, you know, there's three of us children, and what we would like to do is we would like to have, you know, just a little portion of my loved one's ashes. You know, you could take and split them into a small portion for each one of the children and then bury the rest of the ashes. Or, you know, it's still something that, you know, say dad had a favorite fishing spot or a hunting area or whatever, you know, or on the farm, you know, you could go out and broadcast your loved one still on those areas. But if you do go to the cemetery, the only thing that I really know of that you're supposed to have is that when you go to bury the urn, you're supposed to have 3 foot of earth on top of the urn. So your urn is roughly about 4 foot in the ground.
Interesting.
And I would say that they do that for, you know, just the frost purposes, you know, so it doesn't, you know, the urn doesn't work back up over many years.
Good point. Good point. I'm talking with Richard Tharp, Tharp Funeral Home here in Albia. As we get closer to the end of our segment here on Just Start Talking, sometimes people are in need of aftercare. Talk us through that, if you could, real quick.
Sure. And Pat, that's probably one area that we could improve on. You know, everybody has areas that they could do better on. But our website does have some links and some different things that you could get into different groups or forums that would help there. And then also, I know that some of the local churches and different things, they have programs that are, you know, maybe quarterly or maybe once a year that they do. You know, that's some area that, like I say, we do need to improve on. But we do have some literature, some pamphlets and stuff that we could pass out if somebody needed. We could definitely get them pointed in the right direction.
I'm talking with Richard Tharp, the Tharp Funeral Home, for an installment of Just Start Talking. And if you want to listen to this podcast once again, you can go to www.kiicradio.com, select that Audio Vault tab there at the top, and then scroll down on the right side and make that selection for this particular Just Start Talking broadcast. Richard, thanks for being with me on KIIC for our installment of Just Start Talking.
Thank you.
Don't have time for love anymore. the things we used to say, little things we did each day. Oh, I long to do the things that we did before. When it was burgers and fries and cherry pies, it was simple and good back then. Walking in the sand, hand in hand, never thinking that it could end. Making our love with the moon above at the drive-in picture show. And it was burgers and fries and cherry pies in a world we used to know. Well, I'm still the same old me. That's all I'll ever be. I'd like to think that you're the same old you. We lost something down the line that I wish we both could find. But I'd like to do the things that we used to do. And it was burgers and fries and chips. It was simple and good back then. Walking in the sand, hand in hand, never thinking that it could end. Taking our love with the moon above at the drive-in picture show. It was burgers and fries and cherry pies in a world we used to know.
Burgers and fries with Charlie Pride. I'm Mike Sheffield. One of the first things that guys notice on a woman. No, it's not the body. It's not the eyes. It's not their smile. No, it's not that.
Singing sweet. Breathing clean mountain air, singing sweet country music, makes me wish that I was there. It's been more than a year now since my daddy passed away, but I'll keep his memory with me in the songs we used to play. Singing sweet country music, breathing clean mountain air. Singing sweet country music, makes me wish that I was there. Bible in his hand, and he'd talk about religion and just how to work the land. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Singing sweet.